Pastor Gary is not new to us, Pastor Gary Goodrow. He's been coming for many, many years. He is our Awana missionary. And his heart and his heartbeat, and he and his wife Sharon, their heartbeat is for children. They love Awana. They have raised their girls up through Awana, and they visit church to church to church to church. In what area, guys? Just New Jersey or? All New Jersey and Eastern Pennsylvania. They go from church to church to visit all the Awana groups and speak like he's doing here in the church like this. And so I always invite him. He always seems to come my birthday week, which is always fun because then we go out to eat. It's a little celebration. But you will enjoy Pastor Gary. He's got a great heart. You're going to hear that heart in what he brings from the Holy Spirit today. And so we're so excited. So would you, with warm hands, welcome our brother Gary Goodrow. Pastor Gary Goodrow, amen. Our Awana missionary.
All right, maybe you can hear me. Yeah, that's good. Let me do a little housekeeping here. Just don't give me a vacuum cleaner. So I don't know if you know this, but it snowed last night. And so you had to clean off your car before you go to church. That's kind of interesting. And I'm so glad that you put rock salt out, because if you had put pepper out, I would have sneezed. Okay, so that's just the time joke that we don't have time for. But I do have some toys here, and so it's just a lot of fun to be here with you guys, because we're family, right? Amen. And so we don't feel like we're strangers. I never sign the guest register in a church that I feel at home at. I'm glad you don't have a guest register, because I didn't sign it. I do that in our own church, though, because I'm missing a lot. They say, well, who are you? So I have to sign a guest register in my own church sometimes, because the Lord has me on the road all the time, right? So that's a blessing. So this morning, I'm not sure I even got a bulletin, but that's all right. This morning, the message today is entitled Finishing the Course. And we're going to go through a lot of opportunities for you to finish the course. But while we do that, I have a question for you. Have you ever thought about what God would say to you after you have finished the course of your earthly life? As you enter eternity, what will you hear? There are only two possible answers. Will you hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of your Lord." Or will you hear, "Depart from me. I never knew you." For so many people today, that is a devastating question, and one that they cannot truly answer. But this morning, we're going to look into God's Word and find out what He has to say to us about preparing us to finish the course. My prayer is that by the end of the time together, you would be part of the first group, that group that would hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful. Enter now into the joy of their Lord." So before we go to the Word, let's go to the throne and ask Him to lead us. Father, thank you so much for this day, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, the strength of my Redeemer. Father, we pray for the one who needs to hear your voice this morning, the one who comes here who says, "I am not sure which group I'm in." Lord, by the end of our time together, would they know that they are part of the group that would say, "Well done." So, Father, we give this time to you. We ask you to speak through your word, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you like sports? From baseball to basketball to hockey to football to track. I used to be the coach of my four daughters as they were going to different sports, and one of the ones that were the favorite ones was track. So we're going to learn a little bit about that later. I have something to show you in a little bit. But in sports, there's one thing that's a constant. You have to endure to the end. In the basketball game, it has to get down to the zeros. In track, you have to find the finish line. In baseball, it has to be the last inning. You see where I'm going with that? And so we're going to turn our attention to the Apostle Paul this morning. And the Apostle Paul, I call the faithful servant. And so we're going to look at him as he is finishing his course. And the text that I've chosen today is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. That is Paul's final testimony. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is his final testimony. Paul is in prison, and he's writing to Timothy to encourage him because he knows that Paul's life is soon going to be over, and he wants to leave his brother some encouragement. Now, the other thing that he is going to do is encourage Timothy because he led Timothy to the Lord. We know that because in 1 Timothy and in 2 Timothy, the first chapter, he calls Timothy my son in the faith. Do you have any sons in the faith? Daughters in the faith? Have you led anyone to know Jesus as their Savior? Has anybody ever led you to know Jesus as your Savior? Then you would be someone's child in the Lord. When I was growing, when I was 10 years old, I had, praise the Lord, I had gone into a Christian home. I knew nothing except the house of the Lord from day one. Every time the door of the church was open, we were there. But it wasn't until I was about 10 that I needed to trust Jesus as my Savior. And my Uncle Al was my spiritual dad. After the Sunday morning service on November 19th, that afternoon we had dinner, and I asked Uncle Al, I don't know how to answer Pastor's question. You see, he asked this question at the end of the service. If you don't make it back tonight because you got snapped into eternity, where will that be? I had no clue where that would be. So that afternoon, on November 19th, 1967, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And so now Paul has led Timothy to the Lord. And he's in prison and he's encouraging him in the faith. And he says, for now I am ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Do you look forward to his appearing? He might surprise you and come today. Paul also addressed the Ephesian elders in Acts. Thank you for the book of Acts and the preaching of the word there. He has served the Lord, Paul did, through tears and temptations along his journey. And he encourages the elders in Ephesus. But none of these things move me, neither do I count myself dear to me, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry that you have given to me through the Lord Jesus to testify the grace of the God. Paul knew and he understood that the Christian life was one big SOS. Struggles, obstacles, and sufferings. And he was writing to encourage us as believers to keep the faith, to finish the course to the end. Imagine Jesus with open arms welcoming you into his heaven, saying, well done, good and faithful. As believers, God has called us to run the race faithfully to the end. We are his servants called to share his gospel. But what is his gospel? I'm so glad you asked. The gospel is the good news that Jesus died in your place. You see, heaven is holy. Revelation 4:8 says, God is holy. He always was, he always is, and always will be. And therefore, there is no such thing as sin in heaven. So we need to deal with the sin because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. So sharing the gospel means telling people that they need a Savior to take care of the sin issue before God calls us home, before that clock reaches zero. Are you keeping the faith and finishing to the end? We talked about Paul as the faithful servant. Let's talk about the faithful reward. In some sports, the game clock does come down to zeros. But the race we are in is called the game of life. And there was no clock on the wall. At any time, God just could say, that's it. Time out. And then what? Where do you spend eternity? The pastor asked that question back in 1967. And I'll ask you that today. If the Lord snapped his fingers and eternity started this afternoon, where would you spend that? In Philippians, Paul writes about the ultimate prize. He says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That prize is eternal life. Let's talk about how we can finish the race and enter that prize and get that prize. I use the example of sports. And I have a baton in my hand here. It represents track, a track meet. Now, I could probably, because you know that I was the coach of our daughters in the track team, can I tell you a secret? It has everything to do with the preparation and the technique. We never lost a track relay because of how we prepared. Now, I could do this by myself, but I don't think you want that in entertainment. It would be something for the comic strips. So I'm going to ask my friend over here to come up. What is your name? Sean, come on up. Would you like to be a track star? I know you can run faster than me. But see, it's not about speed. It's about technique. So we're going to pass the baton, okay? And I'm not going to throw it to him. And I'm not going to say, here, have it. There is a way to pass the baton, and you're going to find what we mean by this, okay? So now, let me show you, see your hands, okay? Which hand is this?
Left.
My left hand, okay? What hand is this?
Right.
Your right hand. Okay, so right starts with the letter R, okay? So the letter R means I'm going to receive the baton with my right hand. My daughters who are probably watching online are probably laughing right now because we did this 100 times. Now the L, left, is how you leave. Okay, so the baton will always leave you with your left hand and you will always receive it with your right hand. See, we've watched hundreds of track meets. And now you're going to do this. You're going to see how people pass the baton, and they go like this. And if you do that, it kind of slows you down. Okay, so now I'm going to give you this baton, okay? And you're going to pass it to me. Now, I'm not going to look at him. And so he's running up on me, and what hand are you having it in because it's going to leave you? The left hand, okay? And so I'm going to receive it in my right hand. I'm not going to look back. Because if I do that, it's going to take me a while to start running fast. I'm not going to run. We're going to walk. So as I'm walking, we're pretending to run. He puts it in there. I put it right in my left hand. Now we'll reverse, okay? So as I'm passing on to him, he's not looking behind me, but he's putting his hand up there. I'm going to do this and not let go until he has it, and he's going to go. Thank you so much for your help, okay? Why I say that the baton reminds me of the scriptures, because it is the gospel in which you are to receive, but not keep it yourself. You are to pass it along to those that you love. You see, the gospel is what God asks us to pass along. It's the power of God to change lives and get people to trust Jesus as Savior. And there is not a single person here that just Jesus didn't die for. So what does that mean to you and you and you and you and you and me? It means that when you trust Jesus as your Savior, you become family. John 1:12 tells us, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." When we trust Jesus, he calls us family. Is it any wonder that we should probably tell someone else? You see, in sports, when we win the championship, we don't keep it a secret. Shh, don't tell anybody, but we won. No, we won eternal life, and you want to tell people we are on the victor side. Don't keep it a secret. So what are you going to do with Jesus? So we looked at the faithful servant, the faithful reward. Let's look at the faithful Savior. So if you were part of group two, that group that would hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Well, but Pastor Gary, we're here in church. We would never be part of that group. You see, we go to church faithfully. We give our offering. We help our neighbors out. We do great things for our neighbors. And we never gossip about our neighbors. The things we say about them are true. You get where I'm going. It's all about works. But you know, Jesus spoke in Matthew. He covered three chapters with the Sermon on the Mount. Chapters 5, 6, and 7. He preached the longest sermon. Longer than mine. And at the end of the sermon, he said to me, "Many of you will say in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?' But in that day, only those that have done my Father's will enter into heaven. But we've prophesied in your name. We've cast out devils. And in your name done many wonderful works." But verse 23 says it all. And Jesus said, "I will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me and work in iniquity." Will he say that to you today? "I never knew you"? That's pretty sad. For you to stand in front of the Lord and have him say, "I never knew you. But we prophesied in your name. We did all these things in your name. I never knew you." As you are in group two, if you were to stand before the throne, entering into eternity, I'd like you to turn to the book of Revelation. Have you ever heard the cliche, "We read the last chapter and we know who wins"? Well, we, those saved in group one, we've read the Bible and we know who wins. So let's turn to the end. In Revelation, you need to turn your attention to Revelation 20. It is the great white throne. The great white throne is where they will stand when time is over. And in verse 11 it says, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell were delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every one, according to their works. And death and hell were also cast into the lake of fire. This was the second death. Before we say verse 15, if you're part of group two, verse 15 is probably the scariest moment in your future. Because you see, verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's turn for a moment to the group one people. How do you think you will be affected while you are witnessing the great white throne? That neighbor. Do you have any neighbors that are not saved? That family member. I have family members that just won't come to know Jesus. That person at work. These people, you did not take the time to tell the story and pass the baton to. You will witness them being cast into the lake of fire. How will that affect you? I have a feeling that there will be some tears in heaven. I think there will be some sorrow. I mean, I often say to myself, the people that I didn't reach with the gospel, how is that going to affect me when I see them? How about this? When they look up to you while they're being cast into the lake of fire and they see you, why didn't you tell me? I worked next to you for 30 years. I lived next to you for all of your life. You never once told me. And now I'm going to the lake of fire. But you know what? Jesus understands that. See, in verse 20, in chapter 21, it tells us in verse 4, look there, that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these things, for these words are true and faithful. That's Jesus. He said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give unto them that thirst from the fountain of water freely. And he that overcomes will inherit all things. I will be his God, and he will be my son. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. If you are still part of group two, I encourage you to do something about it today. Why wait? It could be any moment. Come to Jesus. We've talked about sports. Hebrews 12 is a cool verse about sports. It kind of reminds me of the fact that we've talked about track and we've talked about all the different sports. And when you go to a sporting event, there are people in the stands. And Hebrews 12 tells us, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that besets us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. As you are part of group one, you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful." You see, back when Jesus talked with his disciples, it was no different than today. There were troubles and trials and temptations, suffering. There were sicknesses, there were people in hospitals, and the disciples were troubled. No different than today. And just as it was then, if Jesus were here, he would say what he said to his disciples in John 14. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There's proof that we'll be in heaven with him. But how will we hear, "Well done"? Jesus gave us the answer, because he told Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We have snow on the ground. It reminds me of Christmas. So we celebrated Christmas just a couple of months ago. And next month we're going to celebrate Easter. I'd like to tie the two together. John 3:16, which is a key verse in our Awana program. John 3:16. You see it, we talked about sports, at the end zone of many ball games. John 3:16 in a big sign. What does that say? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." In the middle of that verse, it may not seem like a Christmas verse, but in the middle of that verse, it says God gave. He gave all he had. He gave his best gift to us. He took the baton and he said, "Here is my Son. What are you going to do with him?" You know, that was a Christmas verse, but we're going to tie it to Easter next month, because you see, Jesus was the only one in history that was born in order for him to die. I certainly wasn't born in order to die, nor was Pastor Ken, but Jesus was only born in order for him to die so that you could live. And all we need to do is believe. Acts 16:31 tells us. Because you see, Paul, there's our friend Paul. He was in prison once again. And while he's singing and praising songs, the jailer is saying, "What is wrong with you? I need what you have. What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." It's just that easy. You believe and you receive his gift of eternal life, that crown of righteousness, which is the Lord's gift to us on that day. May I encourage you to run the race like your life depends on it? And now it's time to finish the course. Who wants to win? Some of you have been running the race your own way. You've been running from God, while others have changed directions and have run toward God and took a stand to run the race faithfully to the end. You found that Jesus is the only way. And in John 3:16, we talk about his birth. He gave. Fast forward to John 19. Jesus is on the cross. And that is the ultimate finishing of the course, because Jesus said, it is finished. John 19:30 says, wherefore Jesus had received the vinegar and said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What is finished? In the Cubbies program, which is Arowana younger ones, ages 3 and 4. At age 3, they learned 1 John 4:14, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, the mission of Jesus was to save his people from their sins. I submit to you, mission accomplished. We have a video, if you can cue up the video. It's 1.5 minutes. It's emotional when you think of what Jesus went through on the cross to pay for your gift of eternal life. That prize that Paul talked about, the ultimate prize, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize. Imagine being at the foot of the cross and watching him pay for your gift of eternal life. Do you have that? Foot of the cross, how would that affect you? I don't think you'd have an opportunity to stay quiet. Imagine the game clock nearing zero. You've seen it. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. At any moment, God could call time. Then what? Where do you spend eternity? The lyrics to one of the hymns that we sing says it all. I'd like to read them to you. It's simply titled, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, Revelation, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Imagine crossing the finish line into the arms of Jesus. You see, when we focus on the finish line, we see Jesus and he has our prize. Imagine hearing, "Welcome home. This is the place I've prepared for you." May you, with the Apostle Paul, say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." In closing, I'd last ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Remember that as believers, God has called you to run the race faithfully and do it to the end. Remember that Jesus endured the cross and he counted it as joy. I challenge you now to keep the faith. Endure your race to the end. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We prayed at the beginning that you would be part of group one. That group that would hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful. Enter now into the joy of your Lord." If you are still part of group two, I'd like to offer you the opportunity to change groups. If you could not answer that question at the beginning, I'd like to pray a simple prayer that if all you do is pray that in your quietness of the seat you're in, I promise you that you will change to group one and hear, "Well done." You can pray this prayer. "Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that my sin separates me from you. I trust in you and you alone for the forgiveness of my sin. Would you now, I receive you, become my Savior and grant to me the prize of eternal life? Give me no doubt. Give me the faith to walk and run to the end of the course you've designed for me." Before we say amen, I wonder if you prayed that prayer in the quietness of your seat. I'd like to give you an opportunity to say thank you to the Lord. Would you point to Jesus? "I've prayed that prayer, and I said, thank you, Lord, for saving me today." Father, thank you for those who have trusted you as Savior, because that's what it's all about. That's why we are here. And that's why we haven't finished our course yet, because you have asked us to pass along what matters most. Father, help us to leave this place changed, different than when we first came in, because we can't wait to tell someone. And Father, go before us. We don't know how, but you do. So we ask, Lord, that you would take the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart and be acceptable in your sight as we give your word to someone today. So now we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.